Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. So it was just Thanksgiving weekend here in Canada, and even though Craig and I don't eat meat or dairy, that did not mean that we did not have a stomach-stretching feast. Oh, it was so good. And even though it's something we should do every day, Thanksgiving is it's a good time to reflect on what we're thankful for. We're very thankful to have a roof over our heads and good health, not just for ourselves, but within our family. We're happy to be able to continue working at what we love and with each other. A lot of people ask Craig and I, how on earth are we not only able to work together, but spend all day together, every day together? And I hate to be all mushy, but we get cranky when we're apart. And lastly, well, we're really thankful for all of you out there. And I don't hate to be mushy when I say that we love our customers. Stay tuned at the end of the podcast to hear about something we're so thrilled and grateful to have received from a group of customers. You guys are the best folks, and well, we're really proud to be part of your community. Except for those of you who ignore copyright laws or purposely fail to educate yourself on copyright law. Couldn't figure out a way to do that. That was by far the the weirdest and awkwardest segue ever. We love you. We're so happy to be part of your community. Bad teachers who violate copyright law. Bad teacher. As you may have guessed, so copyright is the topic of the podcast today. And, you know, it's a topic in the theatrical world, whether you're a professional or an amateur, you're doing a community production or a school production, it's something where everybody falls under the same rules. Plays are protected by copyright. But there's a lot of people out there who have no idea what that means. We get calls from people all the time who sort of been flung into the role of director and don't know what it means to get permission to perform a play or copy a play. We have students who, and why would they, have no idea that plays need to, you need a royalty to perform them. I have adults who had no idea that when you go to see a play, that production had to, you know, basically rent the play. And, you know, same thing with changes. Teachers contact me and tell me about the changes they've made to one of my scripts because they were sure that I wouldn't mind. Well, you know, you can't do that. And I have to tell you, just on a purely personal level, when someone changes one of my plays because they think I wouldn't mind, that kills a little piece of my soul inside. Yep, if you change my script without acting because you think it doesn't matter, because I wouldn't care, a little piece of my soul dies. That's what you're responsible for, just so you know. But, you know, it's not even just people putting on plays or people going to see plays. It's playwrights, too. There are playwrights who have no idea or are confused about copyright. How do I copyright my play? What does that mean? Do I have to register my play? Do I, if I'm signing a publishing contract, does that like sign my copyright away? Okay, so today I'm going to go on this podcast over copyright on both sides of the fence. And let's be frank, this is a podcast for beginners. If you don't know, you know, if you're a beginning playwright, what do you have to do to copyright your work? If you're a beginning teacher, what do you have to do to follow copyright law? And really, most importantly, what can you do to teach your students about copyright law? It would be really great at the end of this sentence, if you played this podcast for your students. I'm going to include a quiz at the end, a quiz. I'm going to include a quiz at the end so that teachers, you can play part of this podcast for your students and then assess what they retain. What do they retain about copyright law? Okay, so here we go. What is copyright? So someone who has copyright, let's say in this case a play, that means that they own that material. Think of it like owning a house. So the playwright owns the play. They make the decision as to who can do the play or not do the play. And as the owner of the play, they get a fee for performance. Just like if you're the owner of a house and you're going to rent it out, you get a fee from the rentee. Royalty is like rent. And the owner of the play, under a copyright, because they own it, the owner of the play, the playwright, also decides what changes can be made to the play and what cannot be done to the play. You know, same as a house owner. So if you own a house, you can make changes to your house, whatever you want. You own it. But Joe Blow off the street can't come into your house and start knocking walls down, right? So if you're the owner of the house and you want to have someone come in and say, you know, paint or add an addition, you have a say as to who that is. You know, you have a say on what your house looks like. This notion of change gets really askew when it comes to plays. There is this notion that, particularly with, well, with music too, and with plays, that they're malleable, that they're changeable to whomever is putting them up. But you're not the owner, right? When you're putting up a play, you don't own the play. You're not buying the play. You're not buying the house, right? You're only renting. So you can't rent a house for free. So why would you expect to put a play on for free, right? You don't own it. You're renting it. You can't change the house. So why would it be okay to change the play? Really think about it in those terms. If you look at, you know, as the play, as a house, what could you do to a house? Same thing. You couldn't come in off the street and change a house. You can't, when you're putting up a play, just change it willy-nilly. Renting, not owning. Now let's look at the specifics of the work, the play, right? The house, what the house is. So if you're a playwright, so here's what you can't copyright. You cannot copyright a title. You can't copyright an idea. So if you've got an idea and it's, you know, swimming around in your brain, something that you're thinking about writing it down, you cannot own that idea. To own your work, it has to exist. It has to be somewhere. So what that means is that you can copyright the application of an idea. So once it goes down on the page, you own it. It's yours. You own the copyright of that work. And, you know, there are those that say you need more proof of copyright, that you have to register the copyright with the copyright office, or you have to send a copy of the script to yourself via registered mail, and that's the only thing that makes it legally binding. And if it makes you feel better, fine, then do it. But by law, it's not necessary. You don't even have to put the copyright symbol on your title page now, these days. And your work doesn't have to even be published. It's the existence of the work that makes it something that you own. Once the play exists, just like once the house is built, you own the copyright. And here's an important side note. This is particularly now that we're dealing with the internet and, you know, what is usable on the internet and how do we use things on the internet. To have a piece on the web is an application, right? So if a piece of work is published on the web, that means it exists. So it's not an idea, right? It's not floating around in somebody's head. It's been applied. And that means it's under copyright. So work on the that is published on the internet is not free for anyone to use however they want. So meaning that it's not changeable. You can't just, you know, take a play that you found on the internet and do whatever you want to it. And also, speaking of publishing and producing, as a playwright, if you are entering into a contract, the one thing that you do not want to see on that contract is wording where you give up your copyright, where the publisher or the producer is trying to say that they own the play that if you sign the contract that they own it. If you see wording like that, it is not worth it. Walk away immediately. Because what the publisher or the producer wants is they want to own it. They want to buy the house. They want to be able to make changes without consulting you. They want to take you out of the picture. With theater folk contracts, what our authors are doing is they're giving us the right to act as an agent, basically. We can sell the plays, but we don't have any say in changing the content without discussing it with the playwright. The playwright is part of the conversation, you know? We can't change the house. And what is so interesting to me is that if you're a screenwriter, the notion of owning copyright does not exist. It goes out the window. You know, once your screenplay goes into production, it seems that everyone and their dog can change your script, from the producer to the director to the actor. You know, the writer is definitely low man on the totem pole. And, well, rightly or wrongly, it's one of the hugest reasons that I'm not interested in writing film, that I don't want to be a screenwriter. Because I don't get it. I'm not interested in pouring myself into a work, which is, you know, it's what I do. I love to write. And the thought of someone coming along and just saying, well, this character, we don't like this character. Oh, we have to change location. Oh, this actor doesn't like this line. It doesn't make them look good. And that they can just go ahead and make those changes without ever consulting me, you. Well, that freaks me out, and it's not something I'm ever interested in. People have asked me that, you know, why don't you want to go into movies? And it's like, no, not going to do it. So, okay, so now what about public domain? What does that mean? That's a phrase that gets floated about. And what that means is that if a work is in the public domain, that the work is not under those copyright laws. In most cases, it was written before copyright law came into place. So the same rules about a modern play don't necessarily apply. You can change Shakespeare, for example. Shakespeare was written way before there was a copyright law in existence. It's not something that is... So even though Shakespeare is an application, right? It's play, it's published, it's on the page... But it was written before laws were enforced. So you can change Shakespeare. You can put it up without having to pay a royalty. You can put up a Greek play without having to pay a royalty, and you can change that. But you really want to be careful with plays that originally were in another language. So if you've got a Greek play, if you've got something from Oedipus Rex from Sophocles, that's a translation. And if the translation was written after copyright law went into effect, that translation is the application. So that translation is under copyright. So, for example, there is a translation of Oedipus Rex by a guy named Robert Fagles. Did I probably just really murder that name? Okay. So anyway, he wrote a translation of Oedipus Rex in the 80s. Right? So after copyright law went into effect. So even though he's using public domain work, his translation is under copyright. His translation is the application. You just can't take his translation and do whatever you want with it. Okay? For the most part, works written before 1923, that's the magic year, are considered in the public domain. Next question. What is the shelf life of copyright? That depends. It's changed over the years. There was a time in the first half of the 20th century where you had to renew copyright. For many years, the movie It's a Wonderful Life was actually in the public domain because it fell out of copyright. The copyright wasn't renewed in 1974. Now, this is no longer the case. But you sort of have to do your research. Now, copyright does not have to be renewed. The time span of copyright is 70 years after the death of the writer. Something else to consider. So even if the writer has died, it doesn't mean their work immediately transfers into the public domain. So you're looking to produce a play and you think it might be in the public domain. You're not sure. Well, research it. Project Gutenberg is a collection of public domain works. You can go to Google and search your particular work. Is this piece in the public domain? In this day, I mean, there's no reason and there's no excuse for using something because it may be in the public domain. Make sure you know. You know, the information, it really is at our fingertips. Now, if you're putting on a play that was written in the 21st century or in the 20th century past 1923, you know what? It's under copyright. You have to abide by the laws. So you need permission to put on the play either directly from the playwright or through a publisher who is acting on behalf of the playwright. And again, the information is out there. If you've got a published book in your hands, you've got the publisher information. It's there on the copyright page, usually before the character list. Now, every publisher has a website or a catalog with information about royalties. Again, just think of royalties as a rental fee, right? And what the scripts cost. And do not assume you can just perform a play because you're out of school or you're not charging admission fees or that, you can just copy a play. There is no, I didn't know, free pass when it comes to copyright infringement. You can actually be charged. Yep, I'll say that again. You can be charged. It's copyright law. And that means if you put up a play without permission, if you change a play, you're breaking a law. That's something to really, really consider. And again, think of putting on a play and compare it to renting a house. So if there's a house that you really, really like, you can't just walk in and plunk your stuff down, right? So you can't just put on a play without finding out if the rights are available or finding out what the rental fee is per performance. You know, can you copy this play or do you have to buy physical copies of the book? Sometimes, particularly with musicals, you might not be able to buy copies of the script. You might have to rent them. And then what's the condition you have to return them in? Yeah, when you rent a house, when you rent an apartment, you have to, when you're leaving it, you have to return it to the condition you found it in. So, and let's say on that house, you want to make some cosmetic changes. You want to paint the bedroom blue. Find out the process for making those changes. You know, it's quite possible. Maybe the landlord, the playwright is really amenable. You know, they might be really open to you painting that bedroom blue. But perhaps they don't want that bedroom to be blue. They want to keep everything exactly the way that it is. And they own the copyright, so they get to say. Something else to consider, music. The way music is attained these days is changed. But the rules of copyright haven't, right? So music is under copyright. You just can't throw in a song because it makes your show sound great. You can't just, mash up a couple of songs together and think that that's okay. Music falls under the same jurisdiction. And again, the information is out there. Find out if you can have permission to use music during the show. Find out if there are any fees. Do your research. Okay, so here's something that comes up a lot. For me, as a playwright, it's very hard to hear. The question of, well, we're a poor school. We don't have any money. We're doing this for a fundraiser. Oh, we're just students. Can't you give us a discount? Can't you let us do this for free? We're not charging admission. How could you ever possibly charge us? And the answer is because. Let's go back to the house example. If you're renting a house, you wouldn't say to the owner, can't you give me a discount? Can't you let me rent this house for free? Because the owner would say, no. Nope. You know, you can't go into a bookstore and say, well, can I have a discount? Can't I have this book for free? The bookstore would say, no. You can't go to a dentist and say, can I have my teeth cleaning for free? You know, I'm just a student. And the answer is no, right? The royalty, the rent that you pay for a play, well, that's how a playwright makes their living. There's no salary for a playwright. There's no weekly wage. So if I'm going to say to you, yes, you can do your play for free, you know, that means that I'm not, that takes away from how I make my living. And it's really important to know that, you know, plays don't just come into existence, just like houses don't come into existence. Houses are built over time. A lot of work and time and energy goes into building a house. And it's the same thing with a play. Houses don't magically come into being. Well, neither do plays. It's time and energy that goes into the construction of a play. And the playwright is the same as a builder. And the play is the same as, it's the same as a house. And that has to be, taken into consideration. Okay, so in the show notes, we'll post on the Theater Folk website, I'll post a downloadable PDF copy of this quiz, but here are quiz questions, true and false quiz questions on copyright. Titles cannot be copyrighted, true or false. Shakespeare is under copyright, true or false. You can copyright an idea, true or false. Playwrights should never sign a contract to give away their copyright, true or false. Playwrights have to register their copyright to make it legal, true or false. All works before 1950 are in the public domain, true or false. Works published on the internet are under copyright, true or false. Music is under copyright, true or false. If you say you didn't know it was illegal to produce a play without permission or change a play, you can't be charged, true or false. If you don't charge admission to your production, you don't have to pay royalties. True or false? Before we end, let's do some Theater Folk news. We got some great news this week. Theater Folk was named Outstanding Arts Advocate for 2013 by the Florida Association of Theater Educators. It was a lovely surprise ending to our time at the FATE conference and really a point of pride. We're thrilled to be thought of as arts advocates, and we will continue to strive in the field of arts advocacy. Lastly, where oh where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can also find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Phew! Take care, my friends. Take care.